Hey, stupid nerds. Download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
We're not, but you just did the. You just put Fozzie Bear into a Disturbed song when we were talking. About that, which I did.
I saw Disturbed at Ozfest in 2000 and was just really down with that song.
At Fozfest? You saw Disturbed at Fozfest?
Fozfest.
Fozzie Bear's. Fozzie Fosbourne?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody make whatever bullshit we're coming up with right now a real thing.
Dude, speaking of which, the band I used to work for, Fozzie, the first iteration of their name was Fozzie Osbourne, because they just thought, wouldn't that be funny? And then I think
it was funny, and I didn't even know that. So.
Yeah.
Really?
They started off Fozzie as Fozzie Osbourne.
Litigious?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Sent them the Muppets? I didn't know the Muppets were litigious.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, Henson and Co. go hard in the paint in the courtroom.
Yeah, they do. What's going on, Hambone?
Oh, let's see. Since last week, was up in Seattle for the All Fantasy Everything live show with those boys. Good time. They got a, they're just good. They're good boys.
That's a fun crew.
Well liked, good boys. Uh-huh. And, rolled up there with old Sean Jordan.
Well mannered fellas.
And. Yeah, just nice. Good souls. Good spirits, good souls. It was fun, though, to watch Sean Jordan, love him to pieces. The man, his tastes have stayed the same. And I feel like I can span. Well, and it's not like I'm not trying to, like, I still look forward to Taco Bell some nights.
Hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, tonight I'm going to eat some trash, and I'm going to love it. Okay. But I could also still eat some other things. And we went out to eat before the show. He's like, yeah, we're going to seafood. He's like, I don't like seafood, but if the boys want seafood, yowk, we're going to get seafood. And they just kept putting plates of oysters in front of him and looking at his face. Like, admittedly, though, you have to understand someone who doesn't want to eat an oyster.
Yeah.
Like, you can't argue with somebody who looks at that and is like, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's one of those things. It's fairly polarizing. Either you're all in or no thanks.
This ugly rock has some goop inside of it.
It's delicious goop.
I know, but it took me a while to appreciate it. And it's only in festive. I wouldn't sit and eat them myself. Like, it's a festive thing. I feel I almost have to be distracted by a good time.
Yeah. You wouldn't order them alone?
Probably not.
Oh, I totally
it's a,
would.
It's a communal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if I was with somebody and I got them for myself, but I have to be like nachos. they are like nachos of the sea.
That's true. Yeah, you put stuff on them.
They're about the they're same all piled
size.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
Although if you ate nachos the same way you ate oysters, I would kick you out of the restaurant even if I didn't work there.
Just the stuff sliding off
sucking
the chip.
Sucking the cheese and salsa off the top of each tortilla. Like, sir, you need to leave. You need to leave this El Torito immediately.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Oh, are these Pacific nachos or Atlantic nachos? You can tell by the shape of the chip.
Where were they caught?
Yeah, where?
I think raw oysters is definitely one of the items I could compete in a food competition, eating competition. I can't imagine me getting full on oysters. Like, I seriously, Katie and I go out.
I can't imagine you getting full.
We've ordered, I think we've ordered 3 dozen before just as an appetizer. But like if that was the main event, if that was my focus, I'm going to go.
3 dozen?
Yeah, we shared 3 dozen just as a nap.
What's the split on that share?
Oh, she puts them down too. Yeah, she can hang.
Oh yeah,
yeah, she can hang with seafood. But I bet I could eat, seriously, I think I could eat 10 dozen if I was really hungry. Just nothing else. Just give me 10. Keep them coming. I could eat 120 oysters.
Oh, Jesus. Stop, man. It's 11 in the morning. It is 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm just thinking about, like, what an absolute nightmare visually. What, like a true seafood feast of just crab, lobster, oyster, and like a whole fish on a table, and that just looks like that's like the monster squad. That's if you imagine visually, like, oh, here's most of these things you have to beat through the outside with a hammer, and this one just has the eyes and face still on it.
Yeah, I'll have the fish frenzy. It's my favorite line from Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's taking Jeff's parents out to dinner, and they're going to a seafood restaurant, and Jeff's dad's like, I'll have the fish frenzy. Whatever the hell that was.
It's truly horrors of the deep.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that old comedic device of the first person to milk a cow. But, like, seriously, the first person to think, like, oh, I could crack this open and just eat the goop.
Like, yeah, I mean, I had
to be real hungry.
Trademark too long joke about how we're afraid of spiders but we love crab.
Yes,
that doesn't make any sense.
That's true. It's a bigger crab, yeah, with a skeleton.
Oh, the small thing that hides in the corner of my house and doesn't really bother me, terrifying. This something 100 times its size covered in armor. We should try and eat it. We should probably try and eat that one.
Oh, man. Oh, I love crab, too.
I just grabbed... How do you treat bugs in your house?
What do you mean? I mean, I'm nice to them.
You squash them, or you...
Depends on what it is. Depends on if it pissed me off or not.
Flies die. Flies can die.
Yeah, flies can die. Spiders I catch, and I catch and release. Spiders don't bother me.
How do you do the catch and release?
I'll just catch them with my hand and throw them out in the yard.
That's what I've been doing.
Get out of here.
Yeah, none of these are, unless it's like real big. Mm-hmm. Daddy long legs just die if you look at them hard.
You're going to
be called
spider.
Daddy and Long Legs, and you're going to be that much of a pussy? Get out of here, spider. You've earned none of those nicknames.
Yeah, bugs, spiders, none of that bothers me. Snakes don't bother me. Rodents. I'll fucking move if a rat ran across the floor right now. I'm out of here. Yeah, I don't like rodents
at all. You got those bruisers in there, so you're not going to have a...
Yeah, that's...
You're not going to have a rodent problem.
That's by design. It's no accident that I have cats. Keep those fuckers out of here.
Yeah, I'm surprised those cats haven't eaten Charlie yet. If you forget to feed those cats, I'm gonna say, if you forget to feed those cats for 2 days, that dog's gone. The dog is doomed.
Oh, that's a horrifying image. Oh,
that dog knows it too. There's a power dynamic over there.
Yeah, Harvey kind of rules the roost over here. He's king of the block. And then Truman is very timid, but he's also sinister. He does a lot of psychological warfare on Charlie. And Charlie's just dumb as shit. He's so dumb. I love him, but he's so dumb. Like, we do this little routine, all right? We take him out about 4 times a day. We've had him for 3 years, so whatever that math is. Thousands of times he's gone on walks. And every time I got this little technique with this little harness, lay the harness out flat on the ground, and I'll, like, walk him into it. Like, he'll step into it. But every time I lay it flat on the ground, he just looks at me like, what the fuck is this? What do we do now? And I'm like, we do the thing that you do multiple times a day every day, dumbass. He will not just walk into it himself. I have to kind of lift him up and scoot him into it. He's just like, what do I do? I just don't understand that. You think he would figure it out by now.
I learned a phrase last week called weaponized incompetence.
Okay.
Which is where you pretend to not know how to do something for so long, everybody just does it for you.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I've utilized that technique.
I think you're being played. Yeah, I think you're being played by Charles over there.
Oh man, yeah, he's probably knows what he's doing.
Oh man,
do anything
any ghosts this week? I'm trying to get us on the subject matter.
See any ghosts?
Which we don't have any. Nothing haunted happened to me this week.
Nah, nothing. I'm trying to think. I mean, I watched some good scary movies. Watched one wasn't scary, but I watched probably the most fun action movie I've seen in years. I don't know if it's action or thriller. All right, it's not the scary one. I rewatched The Skeleton Key. Did you ever see that with what's her name, Kate Hudson?
No,
that's a good one. It's set in Louisiana. It starts off in New Orleans. She's like a nurse. Then she gets a gig out in the swamps. I don't think they say where, but somewhere out in rural Louisiana. She's like a personal nurse to this old dude.
I could see how Swamp Nurse wasn't the title.
Swamp Nurse. That they went with. But yeah, excellent. I mean, it's like 15 years old, I think, 20 years old. It's not a new movie, but right up your alley. Really good.
American Southern Gothic supernatural horror film, as it's described on Wikipedia.
Really good.
Okay, I'm looking for
good twist
for
at
stuff.
The end.
Yeah,
I watched that. I watched. Ooh, last night we watched a movie called Lizzie, about Lizzie Borden with what's her name? Mm-hmm. I never know how to pronounce her name. Chloe Sevigny. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Sure.
I've always liked her, but real good. Real good movie. I didn't know anything about the Lizzie Borden story. That's one of those names. Like, okay, yeah, I know she's infamous for something, but I didn't really know the story.
Yeah, chop him up with an axe.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And some, I don't know how to tactfully say this, 16-year-old Dave would have really loved this movie. Some nice girl-on-girl stuff. You know, nice Cinemax. You know, not rated R. Nothing too extreme. But like, oh, look at that. Isn't that nice? They're kissing. Way to go. Bless your heart.
Okay.
Yeah. Little wholesome girl-on-girl.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Hot stuff.
Even with a period stuff. Drama. You know, it's like, even though there was still... Yeah, the period dramas, it's hard to... I can't go there in my mind romantically with period stuff because I always worry about the hygiene. You know, it's like, oh boy. But but it was nice. It was good. Not to be creepy. You know, it was like a little bonus. Like, oh, look at this, a good movie and the kissing. Way to go.
Romance in the 1700s just has an odor to it that really permeates my imagination.
But it was good. I'm leading up to the one I was talking about. And then I saw another movie that could have been great, but it was like, I don't know how to describe it. It was a slow burn, and then you finally get to something. You're like, hell yeah. And that I've never seen a movie crash and burn within one scene. Like this one scene where you're like, hell yeah, great twist. And then you're like, oh no, what are they doing? Really needed a rewrite, but this one was called, I think it was called Gone in the Night with Winona Ryder. Kind of starts off the way Barbarian started off, and that's not a spoiler, but like, oh, we're going to an Airbnb, but someone's already here. I guess there was a mistake.
Okay.
And a lot of good little twists and turns, and then the big twist, you're like, hell yeah, very interesting. And then in that one scene... Like, there was, like, four other twists that didn't need to happen. It was just like, okay, everybody calm down. But that one was almost a great movie. And then...
Got good actors in this one.
Yeah.
Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah, yeah. He was good
in like
that.
I've seen this Owen Teague dude and stuff. It. He was in It. That's why. Bloodline. Oh, he's doing Bloodline.
Katie just brought in a speaking of the Skeleton Key, Katie just brought in a box of kosher salt in case I wanted to. Katie's been dabbling in hoodoo, by the way.
Oh, I was like, how is that supposed? I'm not sure how that.
In the Skeleton Key, there's they use brick dust and salt and stuff as far as like, I guess this is part of a technique in hoodoo, but. You put brick dust or salt or something outside your door, and that way anybody wanting to do harm to you can't enter.
But if it's kosher, it's like Jewish voodoo then?
Yeah, I guess so. I think that's just all we had was kosher salt. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be kosher.
It's Judo. It's yeah. It's Jewish voodoo.
Anyway, movie, one of the best action thrillers I've seen in a while. Emily the Criminal with Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, people have been talking that one up.
Who I've never been a huge fan of. You know, I could take her or leave her. I think I have a negative association with her because I didn't like that show she was on like early in her career. What's that sitcom where they're just also proud of themselves?
Parks
and Rec, Community. All those, like, you could tell the writer's
so
room.
Yeah,
they're so proud. Oh, look at this joke. Look at that. Aren't we quippy? It's like nobody fucking talks like that.
So... only some of the most popular sitcoms of the modern era of television.
No, no.
Oh,
thanks.
Look who's all proud of themselves.
Yeah. No thanks. That's my problem with 30 Rock. I'll admit 30 Rock was funny. It had some funny parts, but it was just too much of like wink, wink at the camera. See what we did there? Wordplay.
No,
waka,
I liked
waka.
It. I liked it. No, I liked it because there was never a moment where it's like, oh, here's a serious.
I would rather that. Yeah, I appreciate that.
This is live action Simpsons. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. But what's her name? Aubrey Plaza. Okay. Yeah. Take her, leave her. Never been, you know, whatever. She's fine. She crushes it in this movie. Not only was the acting good, but her character. Like the character. There was like five times where I just yelled, yes! Get him! Like, I don't want to spoil it, but this character in Street Justice Dave would be. Be in cahoots. This girl don't take no shit, and it's weird. Without spoiling it, like I'll just say this: like it's weird that you're rooting for her at first. You're like, I shouldn't be rooting for this girl, but yeah, get her, get him. But yeah, there was some great scenes in it, and just like one of those movies where it knows what it is, it doesn't try to do too much. There's not so many weird layers that you've got to unpack where it's very straightforward, kind of meat and potatoes. I will say this, like a Los Angeles underbelly, kind of the seedy underbelly of Los Angeles. So there's a lot of good L.A. Yeah. scenery and stuff. And shout out to my old buddy. I don't know if you know Ricardo Flanagan, really funny dude out of Detroit, passed away about a year ago during COVID. But just really, really a nice dude, really a funny dude. One of those guys where, like, every time I saw him, just such a jolly dude. And but yeah, he passed away during COVID. But he shows up in this movie. He's like, oh, there's Ricardo. So, R.I.P. Ricardo Flanagan plays a good, not a huge role, but a nice small little role. And but yeah, I can't recommend this movie enough. Emily the Criminal,
okay.
Really badass movie, really good.
Nice.
So I mean, seriously, one of the best. Like, just not that I'm not saying it's like an Oscar caliber movie, but just sometimes, like, Katie and I are big fans of like '90s thrillers. It seemed like in the '90s there was just a surplus of these just straightforward, simple to follow, not too cheesy, but not too serious, just thrillers. You know, kind of like a Fugitive or Sleeping with the Enemy.
Okay.
Or all those '90s. This kind of had that vibe to it.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying. It's not going over the top with gore or something.
Yeah.
It's just setting a mood up for you.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, really enjoyed that movie. So yeah, watched a bunch of movies this week because it gets dark now at 2 p.m. and I don't know what to do with myself. So.
Oh, you think it gets dark early for you? Did you come north about 12 hours, 15
hours? What time
hours?
Does it? I'm exaggerating, but it gets dark here
I'll look,
before 5
let me
o'clock.
Employ.
Like 4:45, it's like dark.
I'll tell you.
And
right
I know everybody
now,
complains
sun,
about this, but it just feels weird.
Sun rises at 7:08. Sunset is at 4:41.
Wow.
That's like when it's going below the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it feels like here. Like,
yeah, it bites it. It sucks.
The other day, we're watching a movie, and I just look out the window, and it's completely dark, and I'm like, oh, it must be 7:30. Nope, it's 5:02. Like, good Lord.
I still don't know what the implications of getting rid of daylight savings time would really be.
Mm-mm.
for the populace. But I'm glad I gotta get down with the movies more.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get a more comfortable movie setup.
Oh yeah, what's your setup?
Well, it's just in the living room, which is still kind of, because it's a, you know, very small. mm-hmm. house up here. So the living room is the TV room. I got my bedroom, like where I'm in right now. And I could just like sit in a chair and watch a movie, but it's not the most ideal.
Yeah.
I tell you, man, I'm looking at possibly moving for permanent up here to Oregon.
Really?
And I want the dumb thing that, like, if you're an intellectual, you're not supposed to celebrate TV. No, I want a big, stupid couch. I want a big, stupid TV. I want I want to, like, sink in. Like, I want to have the entertainment area. Mm-hmm. I've been playing a game called The Last of Us, which apparently was this huge game that came out when it did come out, maybe mid-aughts, I think. I'm not sure. I'm not huge into games. But I'm like, I want to play scary video games.
Okay.
And they did, like, did a reissue, which is like basically like I think like how they'll remaster a movie, like redo the color and everything and just uh-huh. redo the sound. They did that for this game. And I wouldn't know the difference from what it was before to this. But I was uh-huh. playing it last night, and I got the first scare that happened, I put it down. I'm like, no, I'm going to bed. I can't do this to myself at this hour of the night. It's a zombie outbreak game.
Mm-hmm.
But now the premise of the game is you have to get, it's like so many years after the outbreak. And these games, Dave, they're like movies. They set mm-hmm. you up like film.
Yeah.
They're kind of teaching you how to play the game, but a lot of it's exposition in the beginning
uh-huh.
of like, do this basic task. But what they're doing, it's a wax on, wax off kind of thing. You know, they're just teaching you like, oh, this control teaches you how to grab a thing or climb a thing. But they're also giving you this story. And so this guy starts with like, it's him and his daughter. There's a crazy zombie outbreak. You're trying to get out of this town in Texas. And, things go wrong, and his daughter dies, and now he's just – now it's, I don't know, 20-some years later. I don't know how long. Now it's set in Boston or in the Northeast, and now you're in charge of, like, there's this, like, teenager, this girl, and she has the disease, but she hasn't gotten sick from it.
Okay.
So she holds the key to the cure for whatever is causing people to do this. But you have to get her to some like headquarters or some like military base. So you have to protect her going through. I've been through Boston. Now I'm in like Pittsburgh trying to get through.
And you're driving.
You're driving, then you're in a city, and then you're like fighting zombies to get through this city. And it's like all like it's a city that's been abandoned for 20 or 40 years.
Uh-huh.
But then you got to go through abandoned buildings and collect supplies, and craft, you know, solutions and weapons. And then, oh, here's this one's filled with zombies. This one's filled with like marauder types that have taken advantage of the situation. So they're basically just like pirate vigilantes. But man, it's fucking, it gets tense and scary. And there's like super zombies, and one jumped out at me last night and it killed me right away. I'm like, I'm going to bed. I can't do this right now. Like, it's been a long weekend. I'm very tired. I slept for 9.5 hours last night. I'm like, I can't do super zombies, man.
What's the longest you've played a video game in one setting? Like, not with, like, you know, take a bathroom break or whatever, but like, oh, I've been playing this for 5 hours today.
Oh, I've done
any of those?
I remember when Far Cry came out. The one I started playing on is like you're fighting a cult in Minnesota. And there, uh-huh. I don't know how much you know about video games.
Almost Dave, nothing.
But like, okay. Yeah. So that, it's like, it's called open world.
Uh-huh.
Which is basically, I don't know what the last games you were playing were or anything.
Original Nintendo was the last time. Okay. Seriously. Yeah. The original Nintendo.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't follow. I'm like, I'm not good at these. I don't like want to play with other people. I just like getting lost in them every once in mm-hmm. a while. Open world concept. It's basically, that's it. Walk out your door right now, Dave. That's the video game. Go okay. anywhere. Now, eventually it'll start kind of like batting you into the mission.
Uh-huh.
But like, you know, like how, shit, what's the, Jesus Christ. The
Grand
car
Theft,
one.
That Grand Theft Auto?
Grand Theft Auto, yeah. Uh-huh. Where you're just driving around, like it's modeled after Los Angeles. You could be on the Sunset Strip. You're in the Hollywood Hills. You're in uh-huh. Santa Monica. You could just get out of your car and start walking around and do stuff that way. You could drive around and do stuff that way. That's how these games are. It's complete open world. And it's, to me, as a simpleton.
That sounds fun. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. To me, as a simpleton, when I first started playing these, I couldn't believe how expansive you had to go. And so, to answer your question, that game came out and was the first one I really started playing that was like that. This game, Far Cry. And I think I just gotten home from Australia and I was super jet lagged. So I was all screwed up. I think I played it for 7 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember I was playing it at night and Rachel's like, all right, well, just, you know, if we go to bed soon. I'm like, yeah, no, I'll be in bed soon. And then she got up to go to work and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what? Like, I didn't even notice the sun was coming up.
My instinct is to be like, that's insane. But when you're sitting around binging a show, I've probably watched 7 hours of Sopranos in one sitting. And to your case, at least you're interactive. At least you're engaged and doing something that's interactive as opposed to me just staring at the TV, watching
a
show.
Which is probably why you could stay up, yeah.
A show I've already seen multiple times. So, like, I'm not even surprised by it. It's like, no, I know what's happening, but I'm still just enthralled.
Well, yeah, and my thing was, you know, I'm not coordinated, and I don't want to, like, put the time in to be good at these games, but they do make the challenges. You can set the difficulty rating, and then it is like they do give you okay, I'm going to try it over again, and it's problem. Sometimes I do get furious.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't thrown a controller yet.
Okay.
I haven't been that kind of pissed. I used to do that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I lose
my temper.
I could see that. Kyle's throw controllers, man.
Man,
like, I hate seeing memes about Kyle's and being like, "Yep."
Yep.
Yeah. I wish I was an exception to the rule, but I am not. I will uphold all the memes of a Kyle.
All right, with all the bad news about inflation these days, it's nice to know that Adam and Eve is still offering the absolute best deal. At adamandeve.com, get 50% off, that's almost half, plus free shipping. That's 50% off an adventurous new toy, some slippery lube, almost anything that your heart or your butt could desire. Boogie Monster listeners, you're going to get 50% off almost any one item. Just use code BOOGIE at checkout. You'll get 50% off. They're really hammering that home. I'm just reading the copy here. But that's not all. You'll also get 3 bonus sexy items and 6 movies for free, plus free shipping. Doesn't matter what you choose, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, absolutely free. Not only will you save money on gas and movies and date night and dinners out, but this is the item that will continue to save you money, deliver tons of fun and satisfaction. Go to adamandeve.com, select any one item, use code BOOGIE, B-O-O-G-I-E, in that order. It's an exclusive offer specific to Boogie Monster listeners, so be sure to support our show and use this code BOOGIE to get not only 50% off, but also 100% free shipping. That's code BOOGIE, B-O-O-G-I-E. Go to adamandeve.com right now, 50% off, almost half. No, that is half. That's a joke. Shut up. All right, our next partner has a product I use literally almost every day. Of course, I'm talking about Athletic Greens. I started taking Athletic Greens, about a year and a half ago? Because as you probably know, my weight and fitness and health is just a yo-yo and a roller coaster and all those other stupid metaphors. But I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. But I feel like I'm kind of getting the hang of it now with the help from Athletic Greens. Well, what is this stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all that stuff. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, what have you. Supports better sleep quality and recovery. Supports mental clarity and alertness. I need all that I can get. Very affordable, less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health. It's cheaper than your coffee or cold brew habit, I guarantee you that. Athletic Greens was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues and ended up on a complicated supplement routine to recover. Cost him over $100 a day. One scoop, 8 to 12 ounces of water, no blender, no raw veggies that you've got to wash and peel and chop and all that stuff. Just one scoop, 8 to 12 ounces of water, shake it up, suck it down, boom, you're good to go. It's so simple. It's so effective. It has definitely helped me kind of keep things. Now, it's not a miracle worker. You know, when I'm out on the road and I eat two slabs of barbecue and a gallon of collard greens every day, it's, you know, I can't blame that on Athletic Greens. But if I can keep my meals reasonable, suck down one of these every day, it's definitely, I've seen the improvement. I've seen the effects that it has. It also curbs my appetite, which, that's a job in and of itself. Right now, to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/boogie. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/boogie to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/boogie. Is there a video game where, let's say, maybe you're driving a cool car, maybe I'm driving an old Chevelle or something around town, and then I've got missile launchers on the hood of said car, and then the objective is just to exterminate terrible drivers, like people in the fast lane, and I get behind them and just blow them up? That would be fun.
So many.
I would love
so
that.
So many games.
I would love that.
We were playing a game. The original of that, I remember, was just called Twisted Metal, and that was Nintendo 64. Oh, there's so many car games.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave, you guys are treating yourself to some things you normally wouldn't over there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you wouldn't just kind of wander over into a PlayStation, Xbox kind of area.
I think my problem
because you could also throw down and play some Wheel of Fortune or some shit on
yeah.
there.
No, it
something
looks
fun for the family.
I'm not morally opposed to it. It looks fun. I just know with my personality and my tendencies, I don't need another thing to be distracted by. I don't need another thing to keep me from being productive. And I just feel like that would just be another thing.
But
maybe
like
I
you
could
said,
replace
instead of watching TV.
It. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't play. I got like I. It took me a while. I get one game. I start playing it. If it gets too difficult, I start losing interest. Like God of War is like won all the best games, and it's an amazing game. And it takes me a while to start getting into it, and like especially the fantasy stuff. Like, oh, I got to start getting in the mood. I'm not like a sci-fi fantasy guy.
Mm-hmm.
So like, oh, you got like a guy's decapitated head hanging off your belt, and he gives you advice and shit. And it's like, all right, okay, we'll see. I'm gonna fight goblins and like. That one I started to get into, but then it got to a point where it was too difficult, and it didn't hold my interest to go past, like, to learn more.
Uh-huh.
It's the stuff that's based in real world. I remember I went into a GameStop and straight up asked, like, the 16-year-old behind the counter of just, like, this is the kind of thing I like. What would you recommend? And she just went, oh, here's these games, Fallout. Mm-hmm. 4, where you're also set in Boston, this one, and where like basically they took over I don't know if they took over Fenway, it must be Fenway, and basically that's the city now.
Yeah
And so you're just running around inside of Fenway Park, but it's like that's like where the community is set up safe from the
okay
weird creatures and things on the outside. But it's set like, so all the stuff is left over from the 50s when like a nuclear fallout happened.
Huh.
And so you're in the future of nuclear fallout with everything, all things like a nuclear bomb could create weird flying bugs and everything. But the vehicles and the buildings and the devices are all have this 50s aesthetic to them.
Okay.
And that was kind of neat. I mean, I started playing that one. I got lost. There was just so much going on in that one. I kind of dipped out of it. Some of them are overstimulating. There's too many things.
Are there games that are... Go ahead.
Well, when it's set in the future, and all of a sudden, when it's in the future, the imagination is like, well, this is the photon orb to deploy against these things. I'm like, I'm not going to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to remember that these things you hit with a bat and these things you shoot with a shotgun. I can remember that, but not. I don't remember what the made up game science is.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like a lot to keep up with.
I retain. Maybe that's my lack of imagination. Mm-hmm. But I only retain the like the similar to real world game science.
That makes sense. I wonder, are there games that are completely the other way? Like just the most mundane games? Like I'm thinking of like a first person grocery bagger.
Where you're just bagging groceries. We will get you hooked up with Farming Simulator.
Ooh, okay. Farming. Yeah, all right.
All right. Yeah. I got this kind of crop. It needs this much water. But I got this other kind of crop. That needs more water. Now I don't have enough of a water source. Now I got to build water sources.
Ooh, I like that. Okay.
There's every kind of game.
Hmm. Yeah.
Animal Crossing is what everybody was nuts about.
Now, which one's that?
And it's I don't even know. I tried to play it. I don't know what you do. Hmm. But it's benign. It's just a family friendly. It's nice. It's nice. You do nice things.
Have they redone any of the old classic games, like with modern technology and graphics and stuff? Like I'd like to, like a new Metroid or a new Mario Brothers where it like looks a lot better.
Yes. Oh, the Super Mario World Odyssey on Nintendo Switch is I couldn't stop playing that one.
Hmm.
And that's on a handheld device, but you could plug it into the TV too.
Hmm.
Yeah, that one. More again, open world, and you're still like bonking weird things and getting coins and everything. But so they did that. I'm sure there's like, I don't know if it's Metroid. What was I playing? Doom. I played some Doom. You could play the new Castle Wolfensteins.
I don't know the original. What's Castle Wolfenstein?
Oh, you were going to raid a castle. You're going to fight Nazis.
Okay.
But now the Nazis have like futuristic dirigibles and they're giant robot Nazis and it's it's cool, yeah.
I've said this before. I think the only game I have like an actual ethical issue with is like it just like the war games that are based on real history. Like a World War II game or a Vietnam game, like that just seems a little, like, oh, look, that's exactly how my grandfather died. Like, that just seems a little disrespectful. Or
yeah, there's no, like, 9/11 games.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you could.
Yeah. I always think about
that. It's funny, they won't touch that. Only wars that have been on foreign soil.
Yeah, okay.
There's no Revolutionary War games, but there are World War One. I like playing those games, but I understand like it is an odd think like, oh yeah, there's a small wooden box of secrets over at my grandfather's house with these with letters home and patches. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, I got a high score on that thing you did back in the 40s there, Granddad.
Or what's that?
I got a high score off Okinawa. I don't know how you did. Personal best for me, though.
Tried to connect with your grandfather.
Yeah.
What's that bit Kumail had? Was it Grand Theft Auto or something where they were in his actual neighborhood?
Oh, no, it was like a Call of Duty or something.
Uh-huh.
Where they were in Karachi, Pakistan. He's like, I know that corner. That's the video store I used to go to.
That's weird.
He's like, a bit much.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see how that would be a little too close to home.
But these fake scenarios with the zombies and everything, you go, like the one in Los Angeles, you know the neighborhoods they're implying.
Yeah.
You know, so the war ones are a little, I get it. I also don't think that like a 97-year-old World War II survivor is like sitting down to play those games. But again, it also falls in line with like, oh, I like it because I know like, yeah, this is a single shot rifle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some space cannon that boils the blood of my enemies. Like, oh yeah, I can understand this, the limitations of what I'm working with here.
Yeah.
Also, the one I was playing, one I think it was Battlefront, and it was World War One, and you play as all the different armies.
Oh, really?
I think it was all the Allied forces, though. I don't think you get to play. as, and also my knowledge of World War One is pathetic.
Yeah, mine too. I don't know much about World War One.
I was trying to learn more recently about like why things started, and there is kind of like a lot of small time drama that caused everything to get going for World War One.
Yeah.
The assassination of, I believe it was Archduke Ferdinand.
Franz Ferdinand.
Franz Ferdinand. That was what started it all. And they weren't, it was a failed assassination attempt. Yeah. And one of the assassins was just hanging out, and all of a sudden, like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
What a son of a bitch that must have been. Boy, I really blew it this time. Oh, I got a chance to make the boss proud.
Oh, man. Crazy stuff, buddy. What'd you eat, by the way, at the seafood restaurant?
Crazy stuff. What'd you eat? What'd I eat where?
At the seafood restaurant. What'd you get down on?
Oh, I had some oysters. I had some mussels. Which are the ones that are hot? Hot little guys.
Mussels hot are often hot. Yeah, mussels and clams are usually hot.
I think it was mussels with the good sauce.
Mussels, man, kind of a darker shell, kind of a navy blue, black shell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it just a seafood pot or seafood boil? What is it when you just get like the hot pot of everything in front of you and you dip the bread in the sauce?
Yeah, I think that's, is that a hot pot? I think it's a hot pot.
But hot pot's Asian. I'm talking like more of it's like a New England kind of steam pot.
Oh,
steam,
yeah, like a steam pot. Boat, buddy. Yeah, I think a steam pot.
That stuff.
I love all that shit.
Oh, man.
Any shit.
Those were good. But that's what I wonder. Like, how much do you like a oyster versus how much do you like the little horseradish and the stuff you put on it?
See, I could go, a lot of times I go straight up just the oyster. I like the salty, briny, chewy oyster flavor. Now, I'll put a little bit of red wine vinegar on there, maybe some of those shallots, but I'm not a big horseradish guy. I like it, but it overpowers everything, so I tend to stay away from it.
If I gave you a piece of like a flavorless gummy bear in salt water. Would that not be the same? Like, what I'm wondering is, what is it about the oyster itself that you like?
I like the texture. I like the chewy. Sometimes I'll chew them, you know, if they're big enough, rather than just slide them down, you know.
If I chew it more than twice, I might throw up.
Oh, really? No.
Even though I'm enjoying them, if I have to bite it twice, I'm like, nope, get it out of here.
But I like just the salty brine. I like it just tastes so fresh. Like, and I don't know enough about oysters, but if I've got a variety on the plate, I can tell, like, okay, that one's, you know, a little saltier, this one's a little funkier, whatever. But like, I like trying to figure out where they're coming from and the different varieties and whatnot. But yeah, I love just the probably the brine, just the salty briny taste, the fresh ocean taste. Oh, I love it. Can't get enough. The only bummer is when there's like sand or something in there. You get a little that gritty sand. That's always a bummer.
But okay, fresh ocean taste. That's what I'm like, okay, that makes me rethink when I'm having them. Because I do like them, but I'm like, why isn't this just some chili salt water with a substance?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm trying to want. Is it the experience? Is it like... like, oh, yeah, there are these oddities in a shell that I'm eating. So that's what makes it?
Well, there's something cool.
Because if that flavor was replicated, like if you just gave me unshell, like if you just had a plate of oysters with no shell, would anybody eat that?
Yeah, I think so, right? Because
a bowl of unshelled oysters.
Well, when I was at Koshan in New Orleans a couple weeks ago, we had chili garlic oysters that weren't in the shell. They came in like their own little tray. They had like this little special tray that had like the little divots in them, but there was no shell involved. So they just put the actual oyster in the little divots of these trays and then hit it with some chili garlic butter and you just eat it with a fork. Oh boy, it was fantastic. It's fantastic. But what I was going to say, I think also part of the appeal to me of raw oysters is that it's neat that you could eat something that has not been prepared or cooked. I mean, it's been prepared in terms of they shuck it and all that, clean it. But like the fact that this is raw, it's probably the tastiest raw thing you could get a hold of.
Beach walnuts.
There you go. Oh man, I had a hell of a meal this week.
What'd
you? It's been a while since I've been to my beloved Park's Barbecue, Korean barbecue.
What's a while? Tell me what a while is.
Since August. I went there on my birthday, and while we were there, Katie secretly went up and got me a gift card and then presented it to me later that evening, and it's just been burning a hole in my pocket ever since.
Okay. So, well, you've been on the road, too.
Yeah, I've been on the road. But, took our buddy Kenny DeForest. We had a nice meat lunch.
I saw Kenny in Seattle.
Really? Yeah.
Kenny was playing the same venue.
How about that? Yeah, he told me he was leaving the next day to go up to Seattle. I didn't think about you guys crossing paths. But yeah, we did some damage. We shut him down, man. It was chaos. It was beautiful.
it was chaos.
It was awesome.
We put him out of business. They called the bank and the fire department.
Little tip when you go to eat Korean barbecue, a lot of times you got to ask for bean paste and sesame oil. Apparently, they don't give those to white people. I mean, I don't think it's like an intentional prejudice thing. I just think it's like, all right, this is for people in the know. But yeah, I got us some bean paste and some sesame oil. Then they give you this other little
bean
sauce.
Paste. Is bean paste sweet?
It's kind of sweet and savory. I don't know how to describe it, and I don't know what the hell it is. But it's more than just mashed up beans. There's something going on there, but boy.
No, I got something in my head that I think I know what it is, and I'm not sure if I'm correct or not.
Dude, but we got the short rib, we got the pork belly, and just all those. Is it bok chan? I never know how to pronounce
bok choy.
Not bok choy, bok chan. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but all the little appetizers, all the little pickled vegetables and stuff they give you.
Bok choy.
Well, I know what bok choy is, a vegetable. But are you saying that that's also the name of the umbrella of all the appetizers there?
When I was in, it was all different types of bok choy.
Okay. Okay,
bok choys. Maybe if you want to try to pluralize bok choys.
Okay. Well, Yeah, because I don't know, I'll not argue with you. I'm saying I do know there is a little green vegetable called bok choy that I used to eat a lot when I was on that horrible vegan diet.
No, when I got it, it was just bok choy prepared like five different ways in little metal bowls.
Okay.
But I don't know what you're getting. I just wanted to irritate you by saying bok choy over and over again.
Okay. But no, like they give you a little kimchi, and then they got these pickled cucumbers.
Kimchi's the other one. Okay.
Oh, I love kimchi. But yeah, and a little sprouts.
What's kimchi versus bok choy? What's kimchi?
Kimchi is like fermented cabbage. And maybe some
bok
other
choy
stuff.
Bok choy is like the root. Bok choy is like a celery type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Bok choy is very much like a celery type thing with a leafy green at the end. And I like bok choy.
All right.
But yeah, but they give you like 15 different little things. You know, you got the little soy things and the sprouts.
Stop buying so much of this. Oh, yeah, you got so much of this. It's like you got too much. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, just give them some bok choy with it.
But man, it's probably one of my I'm so fucking fat. I say this all. Probably one of my favorite meals. Katie called me out on that the other day. She's like, how many favorite restaurants do you have? Because everything's your favorite restaurant.
Don't apologize for having too much love to give, Dave.
Dude, Korean barbecue.
Don't you apologize for that.
What a special thing. So much fun. Oh, also cook some gumbo. I cooked some gumbo this weekend too.
I saw those photos. Those looked they look beautiful.
Gumbo's just All right, I'm getting all horned up here. I'll calm down. Let's get into a topic. You want to talk about some shit?
Yeah. We got 15 minutes left. Well, we're also we're doing Boogie Monster AM today, and we're going to do Boogie Monster PM.
Yeah,
so
working overtime.
Stay tuned next week.
Working overtime.
A few cocktails in, we start really chopping it up about some issues, baby.
That's right, man. I'm going back out of the road in a couple of weeks, driving, basically. Not all the way across country, but I'm driving from here to Lafayette, Louisiana to start my journey, to start the little run.
Okay.
And I was doing the math. I think that last trip that I took with Katie, I think that was my 24th and 25th jaunt across the country. I've driven, and when I say cross country, I just mean California to somewhere in the southeast or east coast. You know, I'm not necessarily driving ocean, you know, coast to coast, but as far as like driving from California to somewhere in the southeast or the east coast, I've done that, or back. I've done that 25 times. And all that's only been done in the last 10 years. I didn't start doing that till I moved out here. I never been to California, but maybe 3 hours before I moved out here. And you moved out here sight unseen, right?
Yep.
You said, yeah.
Yeah, just going for it.
We were out here for like 3 hours on a Beards of Comedy run years ago. I think you did a show
with
us.
Remember that? Yeah, you played
Meltdown. One of the first shows at Meltdown.
R.I.P. Meltdown.
But since I moved out here, that first trek out here being the first trip, I think this next one's going to be number 26 and 27. So, man, damn, dude. That's a lot of miles. And knock on wood, I've had pretty good luck for the most part in terms of my travels. But I was just thinking, we've talked a lot about haunted houses and other haunted places, but I don't think we've ever talked about haunted roads. And I found what is allegedly one of the most haunted roads in America. It's in Colorado. Mm-hmm. It's a place called Riverdale Road. Sure. Kind of runs through, I think, the town of Brighton, Colorado, which I think is a little bit northeast of Denver. And apparently okay, this place is spooky as hell.
Let's go to the maps.
For example, there's a jogger. There's a ghost jogger. Apparently, I'm confusing it with this other case. I don't know when this happened, but apparently a jogger was out jogging one day on Riverdale Road, and he got hit by a car, a little hit and run action. Poor guy died.
All right.
But now people say that, I don't know, this particular stretch of Riverdale Road, they say that a lot of times you can see a ghost jogger. Like you see him when you're driving up on him behind him, and you're like, oh, that's a weird place for a guy to be jogging. And then when you look in your rearview mirror, there's nobody there. He's gone. And apparently
Dumb ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, just jogging.
What a stupid ghost.
But apparently some people who have stopped in that area will hear footsteps jogging up towards them, and then handprints
on the
windshield. What's a ghost
jogger say? On your left. Oh,
move.
You have an extra Nature Valley bar I can have? Man, yeah. Fucking ghost jogger. Got
ghost
no time
jogger.
For regular joggers.
Bangs on the window, handprints on the windshield. That would be creepy as hell, though. Like at night in the middle of nowhere, you just see what you think is a jogger, and then he disappears, and now you got handprints on your window. That'd be weird.
I'm looking at Google Maps, like it just the juxtaposition. I'm like, I'm going to try and find this haunted road, but you know how there's advertisements on Google Maps?
Yeah.
Like the only advertisement on this, like however many square footage miles, is just for Supercuts. Most haunted road in America. By the way, there's a Supercuts at the corner of 128th and Quebec Street. Thanks, Supercuts. That's the information I need. You know what? I do need a shitty haircut. I was actually searching for maybe a nearby urgent care or something or a restaurant. But now that I come to think of it, I'd love an apprentice grade haircut.
Oh, those are often very terrible.
Not to knock any of the
no, I get it. You know,
young people giving it a shot out there.
One thing you got to do when you're given a haircut, let's be thorough with getting all the damn hair off of my face and shoulders. I used to go to this place years ago where the guy had like an air compressor, a little hose, and just get it all over. Just boom, boom, boom. It was awesome.
That's a good.
And then you go to some of these places, and they just got this little brush, and they just kind of brush you for 3 seconds, and you're good to go. And it's like, I still got hair all over my forehead and my ears and my neck. Come on. Like the loose hair.
Is it a guy doing it or a gal doing it?
Usually it's a gal.
I feel like a gal's haircut, maybe they don't realize mm-hmm. how all the little hairs mm-hmm. will fuck up a dude, because when a gal gets a haircut, I think it's more of like a whole procedure.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to shampoo
it
out.
It's not so much like, yeah, little hairs coming off around the ears and everything. I would put it to that, maybe.
But yeah, the barber I grew up on, he had an air compressor and one of those spirally hose things and just...
Yeah, fill up your bike tires for the ride home.
Awesome. Yeah, it was great. Anyway, another thing that you might see on Riverdale Road in Colorado is a Phantom Camaro. People see this Phantom Camaro apparently in the 70s.
Hell yeah.
There was a guy I love a 70s Camaro. Ooh, I love those. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, yep. Apparently there was a guy driving too fast, and he crashed, and one of the headlights, well, the poor driver died on impact, and the crash caused one of the headlights to go out. And then the other one was just kind of flickering. When they found the car, it was just one of the headlights was just kind of flickering, and the poor driver's dead. But now people see.
Is this a testament to the quality of the vehicle,
it might
or
be.
Just how weak the driver was?
But now people see this Phantom Camaro with one headlight speeding around, and he'll come up behind you, and you're like, "What's this asshole doing?" And then you look again, and there's nobody there. There's no car. You're
haunted by the Wallflower song.
Oh, I used to play the hell out of that on the radio back in the day.
I like that first single, and then the one headlight one caught on. I'm like, well, that Sixth Avenue Heartbreak song was a better tune, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It's always like the second hit always gets popular. I'm like, the first one was way better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a rant that nobody gives a shit about. Phantom Camaro, though.
Yeah.
A haunted, cool car. I don't believe that a ghost car would ever be around.
Uh-huh.
But I like the idea of haunted, cool cars.
Yeah, I do, too. It's a lot of fun.
Haunted locations already being places that look like they would be haunted. It's never like a Camry. It's never a haunted Camry. Do you remember that urban legend about like, oh, I, you know, buying a used car from somebody that like passed away or like killed themselves? Like, oh yeah, he did the exhaust thing in the garage, and then the steam in the windows. There's like a message written in the window.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's like urban legend, right?
Mm-hmm. Haunted.
All my urban legends happen to white people, which I find surprising.
Well, how do you know they happen to white people?
I don't know, because it was always like, oh, you know my cousin. You don't have a black cousin. This isn't an urban legend.
Maybe you don't have any black friends.
Maybe either suburban legends.
Maybe the suburban legends.
That was the joke I was leaning on from the get-go, Dave.
Oh, gotcha. I gotcha.
All these urban legends happen to a lot of white people.
It took me a second to follow that one.
It wasn't a good joke. You're right.
That's all right, buddy.
It's not that you didn't get it. It was a bad joke.
This Camaro, by the way, not out joyriding. A lot of people say he eggs you on. He tries to entice you into a race.
Oh, that's what you do with a Camaro.
You're in the ditch. So you gotta
watch. Oh, really?
The
ghost Camaro wants to race you?
Mm-hmm. Dude, were you... I was thinking about this the other day. When I was a teenager, I was an absolute fucking maniac behind the wheel. And I don't know why, because I wasn't a maniac... I wasn't a maniac in every other aspect of my life. I mean, you know, typical teenage stuff. But I had this thing when I was driving as a teenager. If you were in front of me, you were about to get passed. Like, I was just always looking to pass people. And I think maybe because I lived on this long stretch of road that was just, you know, one lane each direction. There was not any passing lanes or two lanes. But I just... And no matter how fast you were going, if you're in front of me, you're fixing to get passed as soon as I can do it somewhat safely. And now, like, rarely will I pass somebody, you know, on a single lane road. I mean, you got to be going real slow out in the middle of nowhere for me to actually take up the initiative to pass you. But, like, where I lived and where I lived in Waleska, Georgia, but we'd have to go down to Canton to do anything. Waleska had nothing. So it was about a 15-20 minute drive, probably 15 miles.
I know Canton, yeah.
And every single trip, I passed at least three or four people. Like, get the fuck out of my way. I got to go. And I look back on that, it's like, what were you doing? Why were you in such a fucking
hurry? Well, is that a mix of you
being,
you being a juiced up idiot teenager. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. If I was one too. But like a pubescent boy.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's all the power of a vehicle.
Exactly.
Without understanding the real implications of like how poorly that can go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when you hear about like, oh, teens dying in a car accident, it's tragic. And it's also like, of course.
Yeah.
You don't understand what you're not attached to the power that you're wielding.
Yeah.
I think. In some sense, being behind a wheel and behind a dashboard and having, which is why road rage, why people will just mm-hmm. be so, it's so easy to like scream and yell and flip somebody off while you're in your car that you wouldn't do in person at all.
Yeah.
A false sense of security. Also in Georgia, do you think it's like, well, here's like a teen in a community of like farmers and older people that are well aware of what can happen on these.
That was part of it. Sure. Yeah.
Back roads. Yeah. Whereas, like, you know, I just grew up in the suburbs, so there wasn't a lot of places to open it up. But there were the stretches, like, oh, this is the street race
mm-hmm.
part of the road.
Speaking of which, I got my license suspended a month after having my license. A month after I got my license, when I turned 16, I was on the freeway, and I got stopped going, like, 82 and a 65. And I didn't even think anything of it. I thought it was just a ticket. And I had to go to court, and the guy suspended my license for 3 months, like when I first got it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then I thought, well, no big deal. My folks will never know about this. And somehow, like, they inquired that night, like, how'd it go? And I just, like, haphazardly mentioned it, like, yeah, he suspended my license. I was just like, you know, no big deal. And they're like, no, that's a big deal. You're not driving for three. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, come on. They're like, no, idiot. A, you'll go to jail.
You'll go to, yeah,
like, but I was like, I was so surprised that my parents were going to enforce that. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'll be good. I'll be safe. But yeah, just got my license. A month later, I got it taken away for 3 months for being a fucking
idiot. But maybe that's why. Maybe they're like, yeah, they know in that area. Like,
yeah,
that's why it has to be a harsh punishment kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess
so. I got speeding tickets all the time. I mean, they used to, everybody hated it. Like right in front of my high school, there was a stop sign. And they would pinch you just for doing, like, four over.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was maybe, like, now with, like, the wisdom of now, like, still, like, you know, what a speed trap and fuck them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fake, okay, all right. Got a whole rant to go on. But I'm looking back, maybe it is like, oh, you just got your license? This is why you obey speed limits. Mm-hmm. Here's your first lesson.
Yeah.
You know? Also, it's a main street in front of a high school that people, and it's by a grade school. So this is where kids will cross. If anywhere that you should learn your lesson immediately, it's right here where kids are crossing the street all the time.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So looking back, it's kind of like, all right, I can see them like trying to throw down.
All right, when it comes to saving the planet, there's no neutrality. If you keep your money in most standard bank accounts, they're lending your deposits out to fund oil and coal. I don't know that as a fact. That's what this copy says. Switch to the planet side and get Aspiration. Aspiration is a climate-friendly alternative to big banks. Get an account and debit card that's built to help your wallet and the planet. Moving just $1,000 to an Aspiration Plus account has the same impact as driving 6,000 miles less. Aspiration is fossil fuel free and lets you plant a tree by rounding up every swipe of your debit card. Aspiration's been hard at work helping people align their money with their values, funding the planting of over 100 million trees on their way to funding the planting of 1 billion by 2030. It's no wonder why Forbes, NerdWallet, and the Penny Hoarder recommend Aspiration for the eco-conscious. Everybody's worried about climate change. I have no idea how to combat climate change, but this is something simple that everybody can do. Best of all, there's no credit check, no overdraft fees. That's nice. And with Aspiration, you just pay what you think is fair, even if that's zero.
because money shouldn't stand in the way of you doing the right thing. Make your dollars make a difference. Open an Aspiration account at aspiration.com/tree and move your money out of fossil fuels. Help save the planet with your Aspiration debit card. Open your account at aspiration.com/tree today. Terms and conditions apply. Aspiration is not a bank. Deposits are FDIC insured, up to $2 million per deposit. Get up to 10% cash back with your Aspiration Plus debit card on purchases at socially responsible businesses. Get a beautiful plastic tree card that can plant a tree with every purchase. Get access to more free ATMs than Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Chase combined. That's aspiration.com/tree.
I don't know how I feel. Like, it was like a philosophical argument. Do you think issuing tickets randomly or posting like fake cop cars is better to reinforce a law?
I mean, fake cop cars definitely slow you down. When I was
it slows
a cop,
everybody down, and then you're not getting punished. But it's mm-hmm. like, does that reinforce? Like, is that better than giving one person a ticket? Like, one person who might be a problematic speeder, mm-hmm. that they have to learn their lesson, or the presence of this police vehicle, you know, manned or not, slows everybody down and makes people behave, you know, more sensibly.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And also, I don't know if I've ever seen empty cop cars for that purpose. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen just an empty cop car parked in a place that looks like he's running radar trying to catch speeders.
Oh, the whole Portland airport here, they have like two or three when you pull in.
Really?
My hometown, they would have them posted up in places.
Yeah, I don't. When I was a cop, I don't remember ever that being a thing. What I would do, my department was so worried about stats. Like, you know, you got to have stats, you got to write tickets, got to do this, yeah. got to make arrests. And what I would do is I would stop people all the time and I would just write warnings. And I would be like, because that would show to my boss that I'm being what we would call proactive. Yeah. I'm out there being proactive. I'm stopping cars, blah, blah, blah. But also, like, you know, if the person was cool about it. Now, if you were a fucking prick, mm-hmm. you know, sign right here, sir. But I wasn't looking to like just hand out tickets. I would stop cars in hoping that maybe there would be something bigger at play. You know, stop somebody for an expired yeah. tag and then you snoop around and maybe they got, you know, drugs or whatever. They got a warrant. But if they didn't and it was just kind of a bullshit thing anyway, just write them a warning. It cost them no money. It does nothing to their insurance or their license. Plus, it shows my boss that I'm actually there doing things. Like, you know, why am I just going to be handing out $100, $200 tickets yeah. to people who don't really deserve them?
Damn. You know? I got pinched by I made a right turn without stopping because I knew the cross traffic had a left green arrow. So I didn't stop. Mm-hmm. It was a video camera ticket, $285.
Jeez,
I ain't playing around out here, man.
Man,
yeah. Every night, there's a huge street racing community here.
Really? Okay.
Every night I hear, I'm just tearing around.
Yeah, you hear a lot around here.
Yeah.
On Sunset Strip, late at night, you hear these exotic cars.
Somebody's always got a rental Lamborghini. Do you hear? Okay, this is not quite Boogie Monster, but not quite conspiracy theory, but that like crypto investment thing that just tanked.
Yeah, I heard about that. FTX.
Like I'm having a real fun. Obviously, I'm fucking around on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like,
by the way, you still thing, but have you not got busted yet or suspended?
No, I guess I'm not famous enough. I don't know. I guess because I didn't change my picture to him or not. I don't know. But the fact that you heard about the one with the insulin company where somebody just took their name and said, oh, insulin's free. And they had to go and apologize like, oh, it's not. It's like, no, you should be apologizing for price gouging insulin.
True. Yeah.
Not apologizing that somebody made a fake thing. Their stock tanked. Lockheed Martin. Somebody's like, oh, we will discontinue selling weapons to the Middle East until we investigate human rights violations by certain countries. And everybody's like, oh, what a good thing. And they're like, oh, no, that wasn't us. And their stock tanked. And I'm like, this is awesome. I think this is awesome. I love that this is blowing up in that fucking dork's face. I love all of it. I think it's awesome. And then the crypto thing that went tits up, and it's like $1 billion lost. And then I think it was like Lori Kilmartin's like, wait, I just want to make sure I got my facts straight.
Yeah.
Everybody gave a 28-year-old that lives in the Bahamas millions of dollars to trusted him with their money, yeah, and it didn't work out. I just want to make sure I got my facts straight. I'm like, yeah, it's hilarious.
Oh, man. Back to Riverdale Road. People see ghosts swinging from trees.
Whoa.
You can
like
do them
for fun or like it was bad?
Slave history. A lot of slave history in that area,
okay,
apparently.
And, not abandoned playgrounds.
Yeah. Apparently people see entities
slave
swinging.
Slave history in Denver?
Yeah, I think there's slave history everywhere in America. But yeah, there's... I think there was slaves in the Great Plains in the West, right? I assume.
Racism, sure.
Yeah, racism.
But I don't think that's one of the things I've learned about Oregon. Like the history here is that it's people like once slavery was abolished, the white people are going like, ooh, well, we're not going to be well liked down here now, and they escape to up here. So Oregon has. I need to be much more informed on this before I present what I'm saying as actual fact. But like the idea, like the history here is that a lot of Oregon founded by prior slave owners that were like, we better get away.
Yeah.
So maybe that's some of the holdover, but I don't think Colorado was even part of the United States. Well, you know what? This is... Really, boy, we don't, you know, we start talking, you're like, I don't know anything that I'm about to say.
Welcome to the Boogie Monster. Shapeshifters, people see shapeshifters along Riverdale Road. Speaking of shapeshifters, new episodes of Unsolved Mysteries. There's one about the Navajo Rangers. All kinds of great
stuff.
Ooh,
I was watching those,
episode.
Yeah.
That episode's great. Did you see the one about the Navajo Rangers?
I did, yeah.
Navajo. Did you see the one where one of the Rangers who's kind of narrating the whole thing towards the end, he's like, I actually have personal experience with this stuff, and he tells his story about being chased by a shapeshifter along the side of the road? Oh, my God. The way he described that was so terrifying. But, yeah, that was a good episode.
Is there any point where, like, I wonder if I was of like an indigenous people, if like they all just at some point, like, let's just make up the craziest shit to scare white people. Like, fuck them.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely get their motivation.
Like, they,
for that.
They, by right, listen, they can't doubt us anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. They fucked us over so bad that now they have to believe everything we're doing. Let's just go nuts. And like, let's just come up with all kinds of crazy shit and see what they bite on. I don't know. I'm just thinking that's like an angle of like, fuck these honkies. Let's do this.
Yeah. And, well, we talked about that before with the shapeshifters. Like, I could definitely see if any group of people deserve to be cursed. You know, the way we treated Native Americans when we were getting this country off the ground, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Manifest destiny still blows my fucking mind. God wants me to have this land. Really? Because we've been here for thousands of years peacefully. No, God wants us to live here. God wants us.
I don't know of any group out of the one island people that are just like, leave us alone. And then some missionary went there like, I'll get them. And they just ate them.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe mind your own damn business.
I told you, I watched that movie Green Inferno. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah. You told me about that. I haven't seen that, but I've heard some of the highlights of that movie and it seems pretty rough.
It's just, I mean, it's Eli Roth. So it's just like, oh, it sure is gruesome. Good job, Eli Roth.
Yeah.
You sure... Made sure it was gross. Good job.
You made sure it was gross. One of the gates to hell supposedly is around Riverdale Road. That's kind of the origin of all this stuff. There was this dude. What was his name? Oh, hell, I've already forgotten his name. I had it written. David Wolpert. David Wolpert, with a lot of folks in the mid-1800s, the westward expansion, going out to find some gold and whatnot. I think he and a whole group of folks went out to California in around 1859 looking for gold. Didn't find any. He backtracked, finally settled around Denver. And in 1864, he built a house at 9190 Riverdale Road. And he was a farmer, and he couldn't get his crops to grow. He even had, like, an underground chicken coop that he was trying to get going. None of those chickens thrived. And apparently, as the legend goes, he made a pact with the devil. Said, hey, devil, help me out with my crops and my livestock. I gotta, you know, I'm not a very good farmer. Give me some tips. And the devil made a deal with him, and apparently David Wolpert, he had just been married, just had a newborn son, and apparently he burned his house down while his wife and son were inside. They perished. And now apparently that's one of the gates to hell. And he put up an old rusty gate around his property because people could hear all kinds of crazy shit going on. And yeah, people say.
I just have this vision of like, I just have this vision of the devil with like a janitor's key ring. Like, what are we at? What, 36? All right, hold on. And just jingling all these keys. Like, there's so many gates to hell. He just can't. Oh, I got to come up with like a universe. You know what? I'm going to put up lock boxes because this is getting ridiculous. What's the code? It's 666. What do you think the code is going to be? Come on, guys. Of course you know what the code is.
Also, like, it's weird that that's even an option on your list of. You know, how am I going to solve this problem? Let me see what the devil's up to tonight. Maybe I can cut a deal.
How many people did you ask before the devil came up?
Mm-hmm. Did you try to get a loan from the bank?
I talked to the bank. I talked to my parents. I did some fundraising. I have no other option. I need to summon Beelzebub.
Man, if they just had GoFundMe back then, none of this would be around.
Yes, that's all. Yeah. The GoFundMe is run by the devil. You don't realize it. That's everybody making a secret pact with the devil. Mm-hmm. Also, I wonder if the devil, I wonder if anybody's deal, like, you know what? This farm still sucks, devil, so you're not getting paid back. Like, what if Robert Johnson still sucked at guitar? Like, he sold his soul to the devil, and he's like, he's a competent rhythm player at best.
Not very good. Oh, man. That's funny.
I was only subletting my soul to the devil. I'm only, he's only got me nights and weekends.
Oh, man. But yeah, I've never been on this road, but I am going to Colorado next month. So maybe I'll go check it out, see what's up. Find this Camaro.
It looks like it's a nice little, it's on the South Platte River.
Okay.
Yeah, go find a ghost Camaro. But it looks like there's a lot of parks and everything along this. Platte River. Although you said you're going next month, might be a little chilly to enjoy the outdoors there.
Yeah, it's true.
As I was just there Saturday night, I was a little cold.
Oh yeah, you want to talk about that, Mister?
No, it was just a private gig, birthday party for a guy who just. But he seemed like it was actually a good one. You know, sometimes these things can go a little weird. Mm-hmm. It's always a weird thing with. Well, I've only done two private gigs, so
okay.
I was
about to ask you what's your worst one.
It's just, well, this was the best one, I'll put it that way.
Uh-huh.
And the other one wasn't, they're just weird. It's like, am I Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, or am I Jennifer Connelly in Requiem for a Dream?
Oh, no.
Which it really is.
Ouch.
Which types of this profession will I be enjoying?
Yeah.
But no, it was fun, you know, went all right. But I'm like, you know, I'm not going to like disclosing too much of that kind of stuff.
But you had a good time.
For that kind of gig, yeah. It's definitely not, you know.
It's all relative.
Hey, it's these kind of gigs that mean I can do some of the weirdo ones out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Speaking of
gigs, man.
Hey, man, the show's in less than a month. Where's the ticket link? What are you talking about, man? I'm still waiting for you to give me the guest spots. I got to know who to put on this ticket link. Well, not trying to stroke my own ego, but I'm the headliner, right? Just put my name on there, and let's get this ticket link up so people who are emailing me wondering where the tickets link's at. Yeah, man, I just, you know, I'm waiting on all the guest spots to finalize before I put the ticket link up. Okay, well, with all due respect, are people buying tickets to come see the guest spots? And not to belittle guest spots are important, but guest spots don't typically move a lot of tickets. I'm the headliner. We've been confirmed for months. Can we get a ticket link up? Yeah, well, I'd just like to put all the, okay.
Well, I'm not going to let you say where or
no,
when the show is because you'll be implicating somebody. But I do have the details
Jesus,
off air. So.
Jesus, dude.
Yeah, I can't comment because I don't know. Without knowing what you're talking about, I can't say if.
But that was his argument. Was like, well, I don't know who else is on the show yet. Okay, just put my name on there so I can sell a few tickets ahead of time, maybe. Okay. Anyway, where are you going to be, Kyle? What you got coming up?
This week, Indianapolis Helium, Fort Wayne at the Summit Comedy Club, and then Thalia Hall Monday and Tuesday for the Canadiansgiving shows, and then we're wrapping up this whole year in Bakersfield and San Francisco, first weekend of December.
Hell yeah, buddy.
Yeah, girl.
That Bakersfield's going to be fun. I did that one a few months ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been there. I'm excited to... I remember they're like, so you're playing here. I'm like, I am? I'm like, oh, yeah, I did say. I was real bad about putting stuff in the calendar, and I'm trying to be better about it.
Yeah. Well, right on, buddy. In December, you can catch me in Lafayette, Louisiana. You can catch me in Bryan, Texas, Little Rock, Arkansas, Fort Worth, Texas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Trinidad, Colorado, and Manitou Springs, Colorado. So that's where I'll be first couple weeks in December. Most of those tickets available at dumbdavestump.com. When we get all the guest spots and drop-ins and openers figured out, then we will release tickets to that other show I'm talking about. But oh, boy.
Oh, all right. Let's hang up because I want to hear which gig this is.
Real quick, comic of the week this week, my good buddy Andy Sanford dropping a new special today.
Yeah,
as you're
right.
Listening to this.
Okay.
It comes out today on YouTube. I have seen it. He sent me an advance link. Wonderful work, per usual, from Andy. It's called Basket Case. It'll be on YouTube. Andy Sanford, S-A-N-D-F-O-R-D, Sanford. One of the best joke writers in the game. One of my best comedy buddies. We started together in Atlanta, and he's already got one special on Prime right now called, which one's that? Shameful Information. But the new one, Basket Case, will be on YouTube today. Andy Sanford, Basket Case. Check it out. Very funny dude. Comic of the week.
All right.
Rock and roll. Also, not a comic, but this you might be digging this. Musically, I've been kind of in a slump lately. You know, I've been kind of bored with some of my stuff. Got a hold of that new Vandaliers record. I know you like the Vandaliers.
Oh, yeah, man.
Vandaliers.
Yeah, I just like those guys.
Perfect band. They got a toe in each pool. They got the pop punk sensibility that you enjoy, and they got the twang and the alt country stuff that I enjoy. A little bit punk, a little
like
bit country.
Say, like they say, we're your punk band's favorite country band.
Exactly. And the new album's just self-titled, called The Vandaliers. Every song on it is a banger. I've been listening to it a lot this week. Usually, even bands I love, there's always one or two tracks that I skip through. Every song is just a toe tapper. Just great choruses, great musicianship. Man, they're a fun band. The Vandaliers.
Mm-hmm.
New album, self-titled, The Vandaliers. And real great stuff on there.
So I'm first in a live show, and it was based on that. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what it should be.
Yeah.
This is what, like, go see. Yeah, if you just see it, take a chance. Go see them live if they're coming around. I think they're parked back in the South for a little while. But
Yeah, they were out with Old 97s for a while. I would have liked to have seen that show.
Yeah. Well, all right, buddy. Let's do a little shit talking off air. Get some drinks so we could record Boogie Monster Nights.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this for next week or is it for the week after?
The week after. We're taking next week off for Thanksgiving. I need a whole week to make my turkey gumbo. So
he does. The man just sits there, just strung out, stirring a pot.
It is going to be about a 3-day process because I'm brining a turkey, and then I'm making the turkey. Then I'm going to debone the turkey. Then I'm going to make a stock with all the other bullshit from the turkey.
Then I make the gumbo. Rebone the turkey.
That's right. So, yeah, it is going to be about a 3 or 4 day process. So I'm very excited. Very excited.
All right. Well, so Dave needs some time off for turkey gumbo. So Boogie Monster Nights back on November 29th.
Yeah, we'll see you then. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving. And, you know, just focus. Salt, power through. This is your time to shine. It's time to overeat. It's a good old fashioned.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah, have a good meal, and make me proud. All right, buddy.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.